That verse has been a source of wonderment and confusion to me for many years until lately. This verse that says, when they persecute you in one town, flee to another. I can understand that. But he says, amen, I say to you, you will not finish the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. What I was thinking, what does that mean? When he comes as judge, you will not finish, you know, going to the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. But of course, all the towns of Israel have been known by Christians. Well, one of the fathers of the church interprets it this way, or more than one, but when the Son of Man comes, when he comes back from the dead, when he is raised from the dead, I say to you, you will not finish the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. I'd really like to talk more about the first reading. We've been reading this week from the prophet Hosea, and we saw at the beginning of the book of the prophet Hosea that the Lord tells Hosea to wed a prostitute. And she's unfaithful to him. And she bears him children, doesn't not even sure that all the children are his. But he's a figure of God, the faithful God who has married unfaithful Israel. Israel who's running after these other gods. So this time in which Hosea was living was a time of great confusion. The leaders, the civil leaders, one was being assassinated one after the other. They were plotting against each other. There was all this confusion. And the prophet says it's because they were running after false gods. They were not true to their own God, to the God of Israel. But they were being like the pagans. They abandoned the exclusive worship of the one true God and were also worshiping and offering sacrifices to these idols, these fertility gods and prosperity gods. And so as a consequence of that, Israel has suffered. But we see in this, and this is the concluding reading of the prophet Hosea, we see that the Holy Spirit invites them through the prophet Hosea to return to God, for God still loves them, just as the faithful husband Hosea still loves his wife who has been unfaithful to him. And we have this conclusion, this beautiful conclusion at the very end of the book of the prophet Hosea. And it says, let him who is wise understand these things. Let him who is prudent know them. So what's he referring to? Well, the verse right before that says, Ephraim, he's calling on Ephraim, which means Israel. What more has he to do with idols? I have humbled him, but I will prosper him. I am like a verdant cypress tree. Because of me you bear fruit. So let him who is wise understand these things. Let him who is prudent know them. Straight are the paths of the Lord. In them the just walk, but sinners stumble in them. So let he who is wise understand these things. And it reminds me of this coming Gospel of Sunday about the sower. Jesus sows the seed, which is his word. And some people accept it, and many reject it. Many are too busy with other things. It's the parable of the sower. And the Catechism talks about that, uses that parable to talk about meditation, how important meditation is. If we're going to understand these things, as Hosea says, we have to ponder them. That's what meditation is. The Catechism says, meditation is above all a quest. The mind seeks to understand the why and the how of Christian life in order to adhere and to respond to what the Lord is saying. So it's important to meditate, the Catechism says. In 2707, it says, Christians owe it to themselves to develop the desire to meditate regularly, lest they come to resemble the first three kinds of soil in the parable of the sower. Think about those three first kinds. One where it's sown on the hard path. It doesn't even enter. It doesn't enter one's mind or one's ears. The second where it grows up in shallow ground. It's shallow. The person is shallow, doesn't think about it very long. It just goes, nothing comes of it. Might receive it with joy, but nothing comes of it. And the third, the one that grows up among the thorns and weeds and distractions that choke it off. One doesn't think about God very long, got too much else to do. But finally, there's the good soil that receives it, the one who ponders his word and really bears fruit. So again, Christians owe it to themselves to develop the desire to meditate regularly, lest they become to resemble the first three kinds of soil in the parable of the sower. So let us ask for that grace, for that the desire to meditate, even when it's dry, when it's difficult, but we continue to be consistent. We owe it to ourselves.